Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thanks for giving and for sharing with a friend.
Do we live together?
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, the other Dr. Mental, my husband, Norm. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad you've joined us.
So, I have some really difficult questions to ask you.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. Have you ever thought, I really don't know what I'm doing?
A few times in my life, yes.
Am I really qualified to do this, or do I have enough talent? I mean, really? I wonder if I'm good enough, or if someone else could do this far better than I can.
Yeah, there are times when I definitely have felt that. But if you've ever felt like you don't belong, or like your friends or your colleagues are going to discover somehow that you're a fraud, and you don't actually think you deserve your job or your accomplishments, guess what? You're not alone. These feelings are known, Norm, as imposter syndrome, or what psychologists often call the imposter phenomenon.
Oh, yes. Much more academic sounding.
It is academic sounding.
Actually, experts estimate that 70% of people experience these imposter feelings at some point in their life. Wow. That's a vast majority of us. Which, of course, is why we're talking about it today.
Yeah, and it affects all kinds of people, and from all walks of life. So women, men, medical students that I work with, that's a right. Big one for medical students, marketing managers, actors,
yep.
And executives. Many high achievers feel that deep down, somehow their accomplishments are a result of luck, or that they're somehow not good enough. And they believe they're inadequate and incompetent at times. So there's a lot of evidence about this, that says, no, you're not, but you still believe that you are.
Mm-hmm. And this is truly psychological, because even though you do feel like a fraud or imposter, yet you still do have a record of achievement.
Right.
You just seem to doubt it or don't believe it. Is that the case? I think there's also probably a spiritual element we should discuss.
Yeah, we'll do that a little bit later, but it might help people to know that highly successful people can feel this way at different times in their life, especially if you're someone who is in an underrepresented group. Like maybe a female scientist or a person of color.
Right. Did you know, of course you knew, but I didn't, so I'm going to share this good information. Imposter syndrome was identified in 1978 by psychologists Pauline Rose Clance and Suzanne Imes. They wrote a paper focused on the idea that women were uniquely affected by imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I didn't really know where it started. It's just been around, and it's one of those phenomenon that we talked about in psychology courses and that type of thing. But whenever you're in a group that has sort of a stereotype related to being competent, and you don't feel like you fit the role, you can feel this way. So if you work somewhere and you have a sense of belonging that isn't somehow fostered in that work environment, and you notice that others don't look or sound like you, that can lead to a loss of your confidence.
You would feel different, I guess.
Yeah.
So confidence, or in this case, the lack of confidence, can create this feeling of being an imposter, I guess.
Yeah, and I teach medical students, and you have to be really bright to get into medical school.
I hope so.
Yes, well, they are. They are. And honestly, Norm, the road to becoming a physician is very tough in terms of the volume and the pace of information that they have to learn in a very short time. So many of the students do lose their confidence, and they deal with this feeling of being an imposter. They come in all excited, and then they quickly get overwhelmed, and they look around, and they see a lot of other highly accomplished students next to them, and they think, how did I get in? Maybe the admissions committee made a mistake. Now, humility is important. in any profession, including doctors. But if you have imposter syndrome, it gets in the way of your achieving and your success.
Makes sense. Just like any medical student might feel, aren't we all, though, pretty good at bottling up our insecurities and putting on a big, brave face? Christians seem especially prone to this over-positivized, I just made up a word, over-positivized feeling of, yes, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm blessed.
Yeah, but it is healthy to own up to mistakes and flaws, and we all have them. So why not acknowledge them and talk about them and then grow and learn from them, right?
Sure. I want to go back to something you said earlier. You mentioned the importance of humility, but feeling like an imposter is not really about humility, is it? It's more about failing to recognize your own giftings and strengths that God has given you and really doubting where He has placed you.
I think that's the key, because we're not saying that people need to be all about their accomplishments and they have to believe that they're really great. But you don't also want to undermine the opportunities and the success that you may be having by allowing, you know, your thoughts to just continuously put you in this cycle of doubt. If you're constantly thinking things like, I have no right to be here, or people are going to see that I really don't know what I'm doing, those thoughts that constantly question your ability or even the idea that you can get the job done, that's imposter syndrome. And it happens, like we said, to both men and women. But I have to tell you, I think you remember this. I did take a job once.
True confession. Here it comes.
I was an imposter. I really was. It was when I was in college, and I needed a part-time job, and we needed money because we were very poor college students.
Very.
So I convinced a company to hire me, even though I literally had none of the skills. I really was just sort of faking it to make it through that whole entire process. Now, I got by because I had to really do a lot to get the job done, but I knew I wasn't qualified. Now, that's different than when you actually are qualified. Do you remember that job?
I remember it very well.
Yeah, I remember they had me take a typing test, and that was back when we had those big Selectrics. Yeah, typewriters. And they had this old typewriter with the keys that you punch, you know, the really, really old ones. And he goes, okay, I want you to take a typing test. And I didn't ever take typing, so I didn't type fast. And he said to me, I said, oh, yeah, I don't think I can do it on that. I really need to have the newer typewriter. And he goes, okay, let's just forget the test. It's probably how I got the job.
Probably. Well, you were a good actor in those days.
Yes, I was.
I could actually type faster than my typing teacher in high school.
Yeah, so, well, remember, I was going to take typing, but it was all the way on East Campus, and I couldn't get back and forth to the other classes, so I dropped it. But look at where we are now.
Look at you. You're
look at us now.
You've written 20 books.
And we're typing all the time.
And you wrote them all by hand. Oh, wait. Okay, help us with this one. How does imposter syndrome develop? It seems to me that at least one factor is the incredible pressure that our culture seems to put on our performances and our need to be successful.
Yeah, I think the pressure to achieve and not fail is certainly a major factor, especially now when your failures or mistakes can be broadcast all over social media.
Exactly.
I mean, social media really adds to this problem. Also, as I mentioned, being part of a group that differs from the majority of your peers can fuel that sense of fraud as well. So some of it has to do, Norm, with parents also who send children these really mixed messages. One moment they're praising them, then the next moment they're criticizing them, and then children question their worth and their abilities about what gets love, what gets approval, are they worthy? All of those messages are kind of mixed up, and they develop a feeling of just not being good enough. You know, they think, well, I really need to be successful to be loved. So if your self-worth is tied to achieving, then you're really at a risk factor for imposter syndrome.
Wow. And I would think when you move into something new, a whole brand new job, kind of like you did, when you don't quite have the confidence because you're in uncertain territory, that can lead to the insecurities too.
Yeah. And you're talking about taking on new challenges, like the medical students, mm-hmm. right? A fear pops up that you may not have what it takes to make that happen because it's new, it's uncertain, and you haven't walked that path before. But I try to tell people that's normal to feel that way.
Sure.
At the beginning.
Right. And it's okay.
Yeah.
One of many experts on this topic is Dr. Valerie Young. She's categorized different subgroups of people who experience imposter syndrome. These are helpful when it comes to wondering if we might be at risk.
Yeah, these are taken from a book that she wrote called The Secret Thought of Successful Women.
Hmm.
Why Capable People Suffer from the Imposter Syndrome and How to Thrive in Spite of It. It's a long title.
That's a long title.
to remember. But she spent decades researching this topic, so she's discovered these five rules and categories of people who are at risk. So let's start with the first one. No surprise here. Perfectionists,
mm-hmm.
right? We know that they have all these very high expectations of themselves, and even if they meet 99% of their goals, they're going to feel like a failure. Any small mistake can affect their competence. So those people that are perfectionists are at risk.
Wow. Her second category is called experts. They need to know every piece of information before starting a project and constantly look for new certifications or trainings to make sure they improve their skills. They won't apply for a job if they don't think they meet all the criteria in the posting. They might be hesitant to ask a question in class or speak up in a meeting at work because they're afraid they might look stupid if they don't already know the answer. Yeah. Experts.
Yeah. And I think to deal with this, you just have to recognize and put those thoughts in perspective. I mean, can you be an expert on everything?
Of course not.
Yeah. Do you really need to be? Honestly, do you? There are other people that can, you know, be experts at certain things and can be on your team. So I think part of this is when we're talking about these categories is that you have to learn to have constructive criticism and be okay with that not assume then that somehow that's undermining everything
right.
that you do.
Right. Does it help to talk to someone when you feel like this? I mean, you would say yes, I'm sure, but maybe share this with a trusted friend or mentor. Usually, I would think they reassure us that not feeling like an expert is okay.
Yeah, I just think what we have to do is normalize a lot of these experiences that we're talking about. Everybody has moments of doubt, and everybody has problems when they start to go into something new and uncertain. So just don't allow all of that doubt to then control your actions.
Mm-hmm. I remember talking with our daughter one time about career paths. And she said, how did you get from here to there? And I said, here's the answer. Every time an opportunity came up, I said yes. Yeah, but what if you didn't know how to do it? So it didn't matter.
Oh, yeah. And I took so many jobs that I had no idea what I was doing at the beginning. But I had the confidence that I could learn it and that I could be okay if, as I was getting corrected in the process. And it would be okay to, you know, not be perfect.
But I think you have to be pretty healthy, right?
And
look at yourself and say, I know I'll eventually learn this. And with God's help, I can do it.
That's right.
Well, I am an expert in one thing.
What's that?
Well, I know when to take a break. And so we're going to take one right now, and then we'll go through the other three traits that may tell you if you're at risk of feeling like an imposter. More right after this.
Well, the other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, hey, watch out. But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
We welcome you back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our topic today is imposter syndrome. We have a lot more to talk about on that topic, but before we move on, I'd like to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you will find her blogs, her books. You can connect with her on social media and listen to our podcast anytime, anywhere, on one of your favorite podcast platforms or at myfaithradio.com.
You know, I was thinking about during the break, Norma, I was thinking about this whole expert thing. Do you think having the internet at your disposal makes more and more people feel like somehow they have to know everything or you know, be able to find it right away? And do you think that's putting pressure on the younger generation as they come into a workplace? Or do you think they're going the opposite and thinking, I can just look it up?
I think it's that. I think it's the opposite.
I think
they don't care. I think they go, this device in my hand will tell me anything I need to know in nanoseconds. So anything, what scares me is about your medical students. I can see one of them in the OR going, what's the heck is Oh, my God.
You know what? By the time they get there, we'll probably have AI that will help them in the OR knowing what they're doing. We're already making such gains on that.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to think about how technology is impacting mm-hmm. imposter syndrome mm-hmm. because if you're put somewhere like a medical student on rounds, they're not supposed to be looking at their phones unless they're told to look up something. So they really can't fake it until they make it. And there's so much that they could know about something
right.
that I'm thinking that some of those professions where you have to really know a lot, but you really can't know a lot because
right.
it's so impossible.
Right. Right.
I don't know. It's just something interesting to think about.
Well, and then there are professions like in my world, in the creative world, where you can't fake it. You either are creative yeah. and you have ideas or you can't. Now, ChatGPT gives a lot of people yeah. more things these days from an artificial intelligence perspective, but it's still not the human creativity
that, yeah, that's
that
true.
We
you,
expect. So
you get
when
prompts.
They write songs or when the computer writes a song or it writes a script, usually you can tell.
Yeah, but it's a prompting maybe for the creativity.
Right.
So.
Right.
Lots
it's
of good ways to use it.
Okay, here's the third category that could set you up for imposter syndrome, and this is the one that describes me real well.
What's that?
Natural genius. Okay, probably not a category either of us can claim truthfully.
No.
But I do know people who seem to be intuitively really smart and seem to be able to do almost anything.
Yeah, when the natural genius, whoever those people are,
yes.
when they struggle or they work really hard to accomplish something, I think what happens is that if they struggle at all, they think somehow they're not good enough, that they should be able
because
to
because they're
do
used
it.
To success.
Yeah, yeah, they're just used to the skills coming easily, and if they have to put out the effort or, you know, do something, and again, I think this happens in colleges a lot where people have been so used to being the top students in their high schools, and then they get in with all the top students.
Right.
And they struggle a little bit and they think, wait a minute, I must be an imposter. I don't measure up to this because I'm not as good as they are.
That's a good example.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they judge themselves, you know, on their worth based on how easy or how fast they can pick up or do things as opposed to their effort. So I think this one, in other words, it's about really if it takes a long time to master something, some people feel real shame about that somehow they're not measuring up because they feel like they need to get it right away on the first try because they're so smart. Hmm. And when they can't, that imposter alarm goes off.
Well, how do you move past this one? This one seems very interesting to me. And I know biblically, we're supposed to see ourselves as a work in progress, not someone who's already arrived. And yet, what you just described is not that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of it is understanding that there's lifelong learning,
mm-hmm.
that just because you have a natural aptitude towards something doesn't mean that you don't have to put in the time and the work to learn something. You can always build your skills. You can always do better. And even the most confident people have to keep learning and have
right,
to keep,
right.
you know, adding to their skill list. But I think, you know, let's bring in a little bit of the spiritual here. Because I think part of this balance of this is that you have to balance this between a true humility before the Lord and then being dependent on God. So not being dependent on your natural genius,
mm-hmm.
or not thinking, oh, I have to be an expert in order for things to go well, or, you know, the other one of feeling like, you know, you have to be a perfectionist mm-hmm. and all of mm-hmm. that. But I think, you know, God doesn't want us to get puffed up. He doesn't.
Right.
He talks about that all the time with
right.
pride.
Right.
He gives us gifts, and obviously we all have different ones. So I think rather than beating yourself up when you don't reach your impossible high standards that you might set for yourself, you know, really just think about what is the task at hand? What does God want me to do? And then remember that God can help you
right.
do it.
Right.
And He likes it when we're dependent on Him and
well,
not ourselves.
We say many times on this program, just remember that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and wants to partner with you. So it's, how are you doing? I've got some ideas for you. I've got plenty of help. Let's do this together.
Yeah. And I, you know, we live in a culture where everybody is so dependent on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard to live in America and not get that message of, it's all up to you. You make it happen. You do it. You deserve it. All the messages that we constantly get. And it's kind of a different way of living to think, I'm really nothing in this biblical sense, in
right.
the spiritual
right.
sense,
right.
that I'm, you know, I'm here because God has put me on the earth. God has gifted me in certain ways. God has given me talents, and I have to figure out a way to use those for his service and his glory. And so when you get stuck in this imposter syndrome, you're really getting kind of caught up in all the doubt and the worry, like you're not getting it done, and the sort of fraud and the thinking of somehow you're not good enough. And it's really the opposite of how we should be embracing our relationship with the Lord and moving forward.
Well, our entire focus is on me.
Yeah.
I'm not achieving, I should be better, I need to be, instead of saying, Lord, help me, Lord, partner with me. I know you have every resource I could possibly need. And so it feels like, once again, there's an opportunity in our culture today for the enemy to turn things upside down and mess with us, even Christians, and say, you're just not good enough. And so the lies continue from the garden all the way till now. You're not good enough, you're not smart enough, and so you're a failure.
And that kind of relates to our last one.
That's right. I think many of us can relate to this one. It's called being a soloist.
So Dr. Young, in her book, says the soloists feel they must accomplish tasks on their own, which is exactly what we're talking about, right? And if they need to ask for help, they think this means they're a failure or fraud. So I think that is probably the paradigm that is difficult for people that are not Christians, because they want to be soloists. They want to figure it out on their own. I mean, isn't that what all the people that, you know, create wealth and stuff, it's like, this is what I did. I built my business. And I'm not negating all the good stuff that they've done, but it's the humble person who says, you know, it's because of God in me that I've been able to use my talent to do things, to build things, to do things, create things for his glory.
Well, and the soloist is the person who, and we've known a lot of these, or at least too many, who use first-person pronouns.
Yeah.
I did this, I did that, this is mine, me, myself, and I, we're good. And so in some ways, it's almost a talking myself into it. But there's another aspect to this I want to ask you about. What about the person who gets frustrated because you're not learning fast enough, or you're not helping them, and they say, oh, I'll just do it? I remember when I was a kid, my dad was trying to teach me to use a tool, and I couldn't get it. He just grabbed it and said, here, I'll do it.
Yeah, I think that's just
different, right?
I think it's a little different. It's just frustration of, you don't know what you're doing, so I'm going to just kind of take it over.
Okay. Well, this soloist thing sounds like Superman or Superwoman.
Yeah, that's it.
It's okay to be independent, but not to the extent that you refuse assistance that will prove your worth.
So here's Dr. Young's final category. She says, people who push themselves to work harder than those around them to prove that they're not imposters.
Oh.
So they're pushing themselves. They feel like they have to succeed in all aspects of life, at work, as parents, as partners. And they feel really, really stressed if they're not constantly accomplishing and pushing themselves to the top.
But I think there's a difference between doing more, doing better, trying to be perfect. As I teach excellence in the arts to my students, I urge them to work toward excellence in all they do, because that's how we glorify God. That's how we worship. Apart from Christ, all this is just striving. For many Christians, I see imposter syndrome as the silent killer of moving in your calling.
Yeah, that's just such a good point, because we're trying to find acceptance and worth through what we do, rather than accepting God's grace. And it is the work of Christ alone that we stand on. We don't need to pursue acceptance. We're accepted.
Right.
So push for excellence, but don't be anxious and insecure.
That's good. I want to add one final thought. Fraud. Fraud means you're trying to deceive. You're purposefully deceiving someone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when you feel inadequate, that's not fraud, because you feel that. And there is no such thing as good or bad luck in God's economy. We know that. So he has uniquely placed each one of us where we can best do the work that he has called us to do. He has equipped us and promised to be with us in all of these situations.
Yeah, and when we do exactly all of that you just mentioned, God helps us in the process. So we pray for wisdom. We pray for discernment, creative ideas, solutions. And it's, like we said, it's not all about us, but about partnering with Christ who lives in us. Imposter syndrome keeps us fixed on our own inadequacies and shame, which is not where we want to live,
right?
So look, if we're honest, we probably all have elements of imposter syndrome to some degree in our lives. If you've experienced these feelings at any point today, Take the opportunity to start accepting and embracing your capabilities. Stay humble, but be confident in the Lord who has equipped you to do the things he has put in your hand. Don't be derailed by imposter syndrome. It's not healthy thinking, and it will prevent you from being the person God needs you to be. Don't allow fear to stop you from giving your best. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks for my co-host, Norm Mintel, who makes the show a conversation, and to our technical producer, Katie Sims-Wilson. From all of us here at Faith Radio, hey, we'll talk to you again next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Doing life together.
Hey, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes and share it with friends so we can live life to the fullest, walk confidently, and find healing and hope.